Good morning, everyone. You know, Jesus was a wonderful, wonderful storyteller. In fact, in the Bible, his stories are called parables. You know what the word parable means? Parable means alongside of. What is that significance of that? Well, Jesus would tell a story that would be alongside a truth that he was trying to teach. And he would use that story, one, that they would remember that, and one is to get the point over to them. Perhaps one of the greatest parables in the Bible is found in Luke 15. In fact, it's not just one. It is three rapid-firing stories that we're all fairly familiar with. Do you know who he was telling these stories to? He was trying to get the Pharisees and scribes. They were grumbling about people that were far from God, sinners and crooked people. He was trying to some way let them know what the heart of God was really like. So let's look at it. First of all, in chapter 15, the very first of it, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And he did not say, 'You tax collectors and sinners, get out of here.' No. There was something about him that drew them to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying," why are they grumbling? Because they didn't think they were worth anything. "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this story, or this parable. And that's what Jesus is trying to say to the scribes and Pharisees. Let me tell you what God is really like. Let me tell you what God is really like. This is so very important in discipleship. I want you to go back, if you would, with me to the concentric circles. And in the very center of that is God. And discipleship flows from the heart of God. The word disciple means what? Learner or student. Student of what? Learning what? Learning the heart of God. It's not learning a lot of curriculum. It's not learning steps. It's learning as a student of the heart of God. And so if we're going to be a disciple, part of that discipleship is the core of it is getting to know God better. If we're going to lead people to become disciples, then we're wanting to lead them to know God and God's heart for them. So in essence, what we're saying is discipleship flows from the very heart of God out to those people around us. It may be family or friends or relatives or co-workers, community on out. And that is the essence of discipleship, is to learn and know God. So in this, he's saying, here's what God is like. I want to give you three things from this. Tells us a little bit about what God is like. Number one is this: God is searching for disciples. He has a heart that is always looking and searching and longing for people that would come to know him. So he starts off with this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses just one of them. What do you do? He knew their answer. What do? You leave the 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one. You go on a search. You're looking for the one that got lost until you find it. You don't stop until you find it. That is the heart of God. He's longing for people. It's the very nature of God to long and search. We find that in the book of Genesis. Where in the book of Genesis, that when Adam and Eve sinned, they said, we're going to go on our own. We want the knowledge of God. We want to be God kind of in our own life. And when they become aware of their need and their nakedness, and the Bible says, then they heard God coming, and God called for them, just like he calls for people today. That's the very nature of God, is to always be searching and calling to draw people to him. One, I remember his name was Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man? And Jesus called for him. I'd like for you to be my disciple. I want you to go home with me. I want to spend some time with you. I want you to know my heart. Zacchaeus climbs down out of that tree, and Jesus goes home with him. Whatever happened to Zacchaeus anyway? You have any idea? We don't know for sure. Did he become a true disciple of Christ? I think he did. Clement of Alexandria says that Zacchaeus became the bishop of Caesarea, a true disciple. He got to know the heart of Christ and became a disciple, a learner. A disciple, again, is a learner, a student of the heart of God wanting to know him. Now, it's also interesting as we work down through these three stories that it shows us the heart of God, but guess what else it shows us? Not only the heart and nature of God, it shows us the heart and nature of man, what you and I are like. He's saying that we are like sheep. Hold the phone a moment. Did you know that sheep is probably the dumbest animal out there? It can get lost and have no idea it's lost. That's the kindest way I can tell you how dumb you are and how dumb I am, because we'll be wandering around. And to be lost, the sheep had no idea that they were lost. Not a care of one about being lost. Some of you here today are lost. And it seems like no big deal. Things are going all right. You're unaware of it. You can have a good time in your lostness. We were down at Windermere one year and had my boat there and had a boat full of people, and we were cruising around all over the lake having such a good time. And I was visiting, and you know, and all of a sudden realized I'd not kept track of really where we were on the lake, and I did not know where we were. I was lost as lost can be. I didn't want to admit it, so I just kept driving. And then some of them said, "Seem like we've seen this before." Oh no, I'm going to have to confess, I am lost. And finally, some of them said, "Do you know where you're going?" I finally had said, "I have no clue where I am." I pulled into a marina and said, "Could you tell me where Windermere is?" They said, "Sure, it's right across the lake." Oh, why didn't I see that over there? You know, I was having such a good time, totally lost. Are you having a great time today and totally lost? You think things are going pretty well. That's the nature of man. Does not know that they're lost. I remember, I've talked to a lot of people like this, but I remember one of the first ones I talked with, and I'd done some business with him, got a pretty good relationship with him, started talking to him a little bit about Christ. And he said, "Vernon, I have no idea why I would need his forgiveness. I've never done anything that bad." And I would say, "You're dumb as a sheep," but I didn't. He was unaware. I'm going to ask you again. Are you aware of your lostness if you've never come to Christ? Are you aware? Do you realize the journey that you're on? So you can be having a great time and be lost. Well, Jesus goes on. He's got another story. Or, this in verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, loses one of them. What does she do? They all know what she do. She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere, what? Until she finds. She doesn't give up. She keeps on going and going and going. That is the nature of God. Keep on calling. Keep on searching over and over again. Even for the tax collector, even for the notorious sinner, he keeps on looking, keeps on searching. We don't know for sure, but it seems like that the custom of that day was a headband, that when a young girl would get married, she'd have a headband on, might have 10 coins in it. And it was a very precious, kind of like a wedding ring of a woman today, that all of a sudden one of those coins were missing. And she went on a search, all out search, to find that coin, because it was out of place and it was precious. Charlie and I were in a hotel one time and getting ready to leave. And she said, oh no, I can't find my wedding rings. We turned that place upside down looking for it. She said, well, maybe I dropped it in the sink. Oh no, so I crawled under the sink, took the trap off and all of its filth and dirt. And it looked and it wasn't in there either. Put the trap back on. And we finally had to leave and could not find the ring until sometime later she found it in her pocket. That's all you need to know about that story. But it was precious enough, we tore that place upside down and could not find it. God is always searching. He told Zacchaeus later on, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason I called you down. Zacchaeus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which is lost. This also tells us a little bit about the nature of man. The nature of mankind is like that coin on the headband, he's out of place. Not where he belongs. He doesn't belong out there. He belongs in here. And I got to thinking about George Varna's research on how many people that are out there that are out of place. They're not in God's family. They're not in his kingdom. They're not where they belong. Not really. And George Barna says from their research that 25%, now grab a hold of this, 25% of people in America would respond if you would build a loving, caring relationship with them and invite them into discussion and invite them to church, they would respond and even come to church, 25%. I went back to our demographics that we have done of this area here to look and see in a 5-mile radius, that means that there is 19,000 people this morning that would respond to an invitation if someone cared enough in a relationship to ask them. Can you fathom that? 19,000 coins out there that if we just go, and God has them in mind, if we just go and ask them, suppose we would just reach 10% of that 19,000, scoot over some next Sunday. What if they'd all come? That's 1,900 people. Is that impossible? Is that totally outrageous? Not from the heart of God. If we would be a people that have the heart of God, because the nature of mankind is out there, and there's rejoicing. After each of these stories, there was rejoicing when it was found. Have you ever put a jigsaw puzzle I saw on the floor last night at our house? Out on the floor, there's just hundreds, it looked like, little jigsaw puzzle pieces, and you may spend hours trying to put that together. And when somebody finds a piece and it's really difficult, there's rejoicing. Oh, I found it, it fits. You know, there's rejoicing. There is rejoicing when somebody comes to the place that they fit. That's the reason why we have Discover Your Design as part of a discipleship. It's discovering who you are and how you fit in the body of Christ. Charlie and I were in Ontario, Canada. Somebody asked me if I was on vacation. No, if I'm going on vacation, I'm not going to Ontario, Canada. We were there working with a church, pretty good sized church, has 16 sites, but they had a lot of people that were not in place and they didn't know how to get the volunteerism thing going. One of them texts Charlene the next day and says, you cannot imagine the buzz around the office this morning of the excitement. Because really, I was not very optimistic about the trip. I wasn't sure that they would respond very well to that. But they really did. because they got excited about seeing the possibility of people getting into the headband where they fit. God longs for you to find the place that you fit in His kingdom work. You're valuable enough. He does everything He can in calling you. But Jesus isn't finished yet. He kind of goes with a jugular vein with this next story. It's in verse 11. He says, to illustrate farther, Jesus told them a story that a man had two sons. Now, you are very familiar with this story, the prodigal son and the elder son. And you know the story about how the prodigal son said, I'm out of here. But it also shows you the very nature of God in this. You'll notice that the shepherd, when the sheep was lost, what did he do? He went to search for the sheep until he found it. When the woman lost the coin, she went after it with all that she could until she found it. Did the father go after the son? No. Do you ever wonder why not? I can tell you. He will not go after you in your rebellion. He won't. The very nature of God is like that father. And the scripture says that when that son finally came home, while he was far off in the distance, and evidently this father had been watching the horizon day in and day out for the return of his son. But he didn't go after him. You got people in your life just like that prodigal son. It may be a son or daughter. You'd love to see them find their place in the kingdom. But you can only do so much in praying for them and loving them and waiting for them. Maybe a co-worker. You even mentioned Christ and they don't want to talk anymore. It may be a neighbor. Maybe a good friend. And what do? I've seen this over and over and over, that I've talked to someone a little bit and I can tell they don't. And here's kind of the thing you do. You watch for the door opening. And sometimes you talk to somebody, you see the door open just like that, just barely open. You don't bombard into that room. You just wait on them to open the door. Then sometimes they'll open the door a little bit wider, a little bit wider. But you have to wait for them to make that move. And you express to them constantly your faithfulness and loving and caring for them no matter what. And like the waiting father, watch for them. Discipleship is taking and allowing the heart of God to flow through us and being like a waiting father. For that son or daughter, never give up. For that person you're praying for, it may be 10, 15, 20, or 30 years, or even longer than that. You keep on expressing your love and care for them, but you never push, because God, like the waiting father, waits. He waits for you. All we can do is just say, do not say no to him. Do not say no. The nature of man, he needs God, and we have to some way love them like a waiting father. One guy I remember in particular, this is kind of my first experience in this. I'd spent a lot of time with him, and I was hoping, when I say time with him, it's a year or so. And I met with him over and over and over. And the door was open. He was certainly willing to talk about it. In fact, he loved to talk about it, but he wouldn't do anything about it. And I thought, what am I going to do? I finally just said, I'm tired of meeting with you, and I'm not going to do this anymore. I wasn't sure what kind of response I'd get. And I said, if you decide to really make some steps in this, I'll meet with you again, but I'm finished. And we'd gotten to know one another well enough that was not necessarily harsh. He knew what I was. But I said, I'm going to pray that God would some way make you miserable, because life was going great for him. He didn't see any need. I said, I'm going to pray that God will rattle your cage. And I didn't know if I'd ever see him again. About 6 months later, he called me. He said, I need to talk to you. His life had fallen apart. Now he was aware of his lostness. Now he was aware that he didn't fit in the kingdom. He was like a prodigal that said, I need to come home. And I remember kneeling, in fact, with him and him receiving Christ. He no longer lives in the state of Missouri. I think last time we talked, he was in Arizona. But we stay in touch. And God has made him a true disciple of Christ, following. But it started when he came to the place that he knew it was lost. Well, the second thing about the nature of God is the nature of God and heaven is they rejoice over one new disciple, just one. He says, rejoice with me. I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 respectable people that come to Briar Cliff every Sunday morning. You and I get excited about more people coming. The nature of God is this. He rejoices like a shepherd that finds one sheep. He rejoices when one coin is found, one son is found. I like this, what C.S. Lewis says. He says, joy is serious business in heaven. We're going to have a baptism next week, and it'll be a great time. We'll rejoice on that, and it'll be a celebration of people. But the joy in heaven is when that person comes to know Christ and becomes a follower or a disciple of Christ to learn of him and to grow in him. There's joy in heaven. And when they're baptized next week, there'll be joy here and in heaven also. That's the very nature of God and heaven itself is to rejoice. Now, the nature of man, however, is to rejoice on how many's in the church house. And we get excited about that, and that's all right, we should. But the greatest excitement ought to be on that which is outside the church. Those that God loves them just like he does inside. In fact, those people out there that never intend on going to church, God loves them just as much as he does you and I. And what he really rejoices about is when he sees one of those sheep, one of those coins, one of those sons come to follow him, to know him. And there's rejoicing. There's a party thrown in heaven that is indescribable. The third thing about God I want you to see is God longs for good people to become disciples. The elder son was a good son. The elder son had been faithful. The elder son had done everything that his dad asked him to do. He was a good, good guy. But he's angry. Look at it. It says the older son was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you asked me to do. And in all this time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast with my friends. And he was angry. The very nature of God is this. His heart, he begged his son in his rebellion. We look at the prodigal son as rebellious. But in this older son's heart, he was rebellious also. And God longed for him. This father longed for him to come and rejoice with him because God loves them. Look back at the circles again on the screen, the concentric circles. And you begin to see again the heart of God that he longs for good people. I've had people say, well, I'm not going to church because I'm better than most people in the church. And I say, yeah, I think you're right. Because I know them. And I know me. You're a good person. But being good is never good enough. Never good enough. I want you to know the heart of God. And the whole point of discipleship is knowing God and becoming like him in character. Taking on his very character. And then trying to let that nature of God flow through us that we can help others come to experience the very nature of God in their life. The nature of man is to be religious. The nature of man is prideful. Religion is very appealing to mankind because religion is usually trying to do certain things to please God. And we're prideful of it. And this young son was full of pride. I know how to live my life better than you, Dad. I'm out of here. Give me my inheritance. I'm gone. But so was the elder son, full of pride, because he based all of his future in his goodness. And all that he was really looking for is not a love relationship with his father. All this elder son was looking for is the benefits that his father could give him. Do you want God more than anything? Are you wanting something from him? Are you angry because you don't think God has treated you fairly? Are you angry because that there's more attention to a lost person becoming a Christian than in your faithfulness in church? Are you angry for any reason whatsoever? I come across a story a number of years ago about a young kid that was a senior in high school. He's getting ready to graduate, and he hoped that his parents would buy him a brand new car. In fact, he and his dad had even gone down to the dealership and looked at some of the cars. So he was just sure that on graduation night that he'd have a gift of a car, and he looked for car keys. When he got home, they gave him his graduation gift. It is a Bible. It made him so angry. It made him so angry. He'd tried to be a good son. He'd tried to be faithful. And this is all? I get a Bible? He threw the Bible down, walked out, and never came back until the funeral of his dad. After the funeral, he noticed that Bible. And he picked it up, and a note fell out. And he read this note. It was from his mom and dad. "You cannot imagine how much we love you. You're the joy of our life. And it is with great joy that we give you the car of your choice. It's waiting for you at the dealership." And he never picked it up. I wonder sometimes how many blessings God would like to bless me with. And I leave him at the dealership. God has places for you to fit in that headband. And you leave it all at the dealership. I wonder if God is tugging at your heart and saying, "I'd love to have a loving relationship with you. I'd like for you to be one of my disciples." Would you say yes to him? Are you like a sheep, totally unaware that you're grazing away out there, a life that couldn't be better, you think? But you're lost. You're vulnerable to the enemy out there that'll get you. Are you like the shepherd? Are you like the woman searching for the coin? Are you like the waiting father? Are you like a sheep that needs to come home? Are you like the coin, that you've not found your place in his body of Christ? Are you like the son? Are you ready to admit, like the younger son? Are you ready to admit and go home and say, "Father, I'll be one of your slaves"? And to come to Christ means that you become a slave. He sets you free from sin, but a slave to righteousness, to a slave to following Christ. That takes humility. Are you ready to do that? Luke led us in a song a while ago. It's called Hosanna. And I'd like just for you to look at the lyrics of that song again. It's a prayer. And I want us to sing it again before we go. This is our prayer. Heal my heart and make it clean. Are some of you aware of the heart condition that you have without God? Heal my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Do you need your eyes open to His love, the heart of God? Show me how to love like You have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks Yours. When's the last time your heart was broken? Because of a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. Everything I am for Your kingdom's cause as I walk from earth into eternity. Would you bow with me? Lord, help us to be more like You. Help us in our discipleship to make the focus of discipleship as knowing the heart of God, a student, a learner of Your heart, and letting that flow through us in a way that we can help others become students of Your heart and of Your character and find a place that we fit. Get back into the foe or come home to You. So we're going to sing this, Lord, and want it to be our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.